Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's December 1st, 2017 program. What you need to know about the tech industry in Eugene. The tech industry is booming in Eugene. Today's speakers will talk about the impact and the extent of the tech industry and what Eugene can do to continue to attract and hold such businesses. This is the 13th program in our 2017-2018 programming year. Live streaming of today's program is being done by Josh Evans with Eugene Tech. The streaming is available on the City Club Facebook page. And if you can, retweet this if you have the capacity. And the City Club brings together members that are civic-minded people to make City Club, to make Eugene a better place to live, play, and work. We are a member-supported nonprofit. Our members have a direct influence on public policy. Become a member of City Club at cityclubofeugene.org. And now today we also have a special announcement. City Club of Eugene is the founding sponsor of a free workforce-related course for teachers. Our collaborators on this course are Eugene Area Chamber of Commerce, the Lane Education Service District, and the Lane Workforce Partnership. The next course begins January 9th. Participating teachers tour work sites and businesses in the region, including manufacturing, healthcare facilities, construction, food and beverage businesses, heavy industry, including wood products, technology companies, and all types of businesses, as you can tell. The goal is to build connections between the worlds of school and work so that teachers can help students understand the type of job opportunities available locally. City Club's been offering this course for teachers for the past 4 years. There are only a few spaces left in this January course that starts in January 9th. If interested, teachers may go to the website, cityclubofeugene.org, for information on enrolling, or they may call the City Club office. And I just want to acknowledge also that we have with us today Mary Layton, former president and former board member, who is the coordinator. Mary, would you please stand up? Thank you for this important course. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Oregon Country Fair, Sacred Earth Botanicals, University of Oregon Government and Community Relations, and Summit Bank. And special thanks to some of our sponsors that give us services. In-kind sponsors, thank you. PacInfo Internet Solutions and KLCC Radio. And City Club programs are broadcast on public radio, KLCC 89.7, at 6:30 p.m. on the following Monday, following a Friday program. The coordinators for today's program are Paul Thompson and Joel Corin. And I want to thank Joel and Paul for organizing this important discussion. Thank you. And now I'd like to turn it over to Paul Thompson to introduce our speakers. Thank you.
So the Eugene tech community contains over 400 businesses. These are not just isolated programmers, but many of them are large, profitable, innovative firms that provide a major contribution to the economic engine of our area. These firms are also socially conscious and dedicated to the area's well-being. They represent the future for the Eugene-Springfield area. And as a part of the City Club's efforts to re-engage with the business community, we've invited three executives from these firms to educate you on the impact, the aspirations, and the challenges of the tech community. The City Club is going to be presenting other business-oriented programs in the future, including the potential of showcasing the Mozilla Gigabit City grantees in February. Our first speaker is Cale Bruckner, the president of Concentric Sky. which is a Eugene-based design and engineering consultancy firm. Kale is the individual who coined the phrase Silicon Shire that you've heard quite often, and he did this as a way to brand the Eugene Springfield technology community and increase its national visibility. He's an advisory board member for the Technology Association of Oregon, and you'll hear quite a bit about TAO here today, I would imagine. And he also mentors University of Oregon MBA students and businesses participating in the RAIN Eugene Accelerator. Kale is a board member of the Eugene Area Chamber of Commerce. He is a board member of the Oregon Center for Digital Learning and also the Mackenzie River Trust. Please welcome Kale Bruckner.
Thanks, Paul. I think you probably took half my speech there, but so is there a hashtag for this event? Who's tweeting? Who's tweeted? Anybody? Good. So thank you for having us here today. Sabrina, Celeste, and I are looking forward to sharing some of our thoughts about the Eugene Tech community with you. I think, and this is a little bit scary, but between the three of us, we probably have almost 60 years of experience working here in this tech community. That's quite a lot, and maybe gives away our age a little bit, but that surprised me a little bit when I was thinking that through. So I just have a few minutes to talk with you a little bit about my career, my company, and I'm gonna provide a little more information about the impact of tech on the Eugene Springfield community. My Eugene Tech career began in Eugene in 1995, actually working for Sabrina's dad at Palo Alto Software. I spent 14 years at Palo Alto Software. My experiences at Palo Alto really formed the foundation that I've built my tech career on. In 2009, I left Palo Alto Software and joined Concentric Sky. Concentric Sky is a design build software consultancy, and I imagine that many of you don't really know what that is, but essentially we build apps of all kinds for companies all over the world. We've worked with organizations like National Geographic, the World Bank, United Nations, Encyclopedia Britannica, to name just a few. We actually wrote the encyclopedia app that Encyclopedia Britannica used to replace the printed volume that's available today. Concentric Sky is located right here downtown, across from the LTD bus station, across McDonald from the McDonald Theater as well. We have about 70 employees at this point. That's employees and contractors that are working for us. The company's growing rapidly. In October alone, we hired 5 people. Between now and January of next year, we're expecting to hire between another 11 and 16 people. Most of those people will be hired from within this community. Occasionally, we do hire people from outside of the community. Our last hire was actually from Portland, so it's always fun to pull somebody from the Portland community down to Eugene. So Eugene is a great place to start and grow and sustain a tech company. There are lots of different kinds of tech companies in this area. Education technology companies, gaming companies, are both very strong clusters in this area. On the gaming side of things, that's in part because companies like Dynamics called Eugene their home in the early 90s. And those companies aren't with us anymore today, but many of the people that worked for those companies are still here, and they've built other companies as well. Garage Games being a good example of a gaming company that came out of Dynamics. On the education side of the things, it's mostly because of the U of O and U of O's focus on education. In our community, there are small companies, small tech companies of all kinds, big tech companies, publicly traded tech companies as well. They're not always easy to see. Driving through Eugene, you might miss a lot of them. They don't have retail presences, so you're not going to see signs on a lot of these buildings that are housing tech companies. I think, for example, the Beam Commerce building downtown, there isn't a sign on the outside of it for Palo Alto Software. If you'd like to learn more about the composition of the tech companies here in Eugene. You can visit the Silicon Shire directory that Paul mentioned. It provides a very accurate, somewhat complete list of the tech companies that are here in our community. We seeded it with about 50 tech companies, and at this point there are almost 250 tech companies listed in that directory. There's also a map there as well that will help you visualize where those tech companies are, how big they are, and what sectors they're operating in. So to expand a little bit on what Paul was saying about the impact of tech on our local economy, yes, we have more than 400 tech companies in Lane County. That number's growing. I think at this point it's closer to 440. And those tech companies are employing more than 4,000 people at this point. And that generates almost $350 million of payroll. That's a significant amount of money for this community, for this region, for Oregon, and that's only growing. Tech is one of the fastest growing industries in our community, in Oregon, for that matter. I think state economists are predicting a growth rate of nearly 28% over the next 10 years. The jobs in tech are some of the best paying jobs that we have in Oregon. The average tech worker makes almost $75,000 a year. You can compare that to the $43,000 an average worker makes in Lane County. So these are good family wage jobs that are just growing. And Eugene, as a community, Springfield as well, is doing an excellent job of providing the infrastructure to support that growth. And we only see it continuing to grow. So having worked in tech in Eugene since 1995, I can confidently say that within the last 5 years, things have really started to change in our community. A lot of the tech companies that have been here for some time, Palo Alto Software included, Concentric Sky included, IDX, Celeste Company included, have grown to a point where they've reached critical mass, and the sky is really, I think, the limit as far as how far we can go with these companies. So that's all I have at this point. I'm looking forward to answering your questions later in the program. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Celeste Marshall. She's the Director of Human Resources at IDX Broker, and that firm specializes in software for the real estate industry. There, Celeste develops and implements strategic organizational initiatives designed to increase employee engagement and performance. Celeste is a devoted supporter of the growth of the tech community in Eugene and maintains an active role in the advisory board of the Technology Association of Oregon. Also on the board of the Lane WorkSource Executive Board and the Computer Science Regional Advisory Committee. Celeste is a U of O alumni, and she was born and raised in Oregon and has the distinction that she has never owned an umbrella. Please welcome Celeste Marshall.
I have to lower the microphone. All right. Thanks, Paul. So my name is Celeste Marshall, and like Paul mentioned, I work for a company named IDX. IDX started way back when, in 2004, as a little baby startup. We now are nationally recognized as a leader in provider of real estate search applications. We actually manage over $2 trillion worth of home listing data from over 600 individual data feeds, which, as you can imagine, is a pretty tough job. And we're able to do that and able to maintain our status as a leader because of our 60 extraordinary employees that are working in our downtown Eugene office. We're down at Oak and Broadway in downtown Eugene. You may have seen the IDX logo. We do have a sign on our building, but I think we're special in that, right? IDX was actually recently named one of the top 100 places to work in the nation, and we received that distinction from Outside Magazine. So Outside Magazine sets out to make a list of top companies that encourage employees to lead an active lifestyle and that prioritize that family work-life balance. Being in Eugene, beautiful Eugene, Oregon, that comes relatively easy for us to produce that work-life balance for our employees. but we take pride in producing a balance that encourages our employees to really spend good quality time doing the things they love with their friends and family. And we do that by ultimately measuring their success based on their work product, not on FaceTime, not on hours in the office. But, you know, I talk about IDX, and as you know, there are a lot of other really exciting, extraordinary tech companies here in Eugene. And thanks to years of hard work by many people, we're now all enjoying, the excitement of having additional awareness and support for the exceptional technology employers locally. A few years ago, like Kale mentioned, we were all working individually, working hard nonetheless, but working in silos, not together. And thanks to the work of Lane Workforce Partnership and the Technology Association of Oregon, we're now engaging each other as a community and really addressing the challenges and seizing the opportunities. So Eugene Tech is officially on the map of flourishing tech communities in the country, and that's in part due to the growing high-quality local talent pool that we have here locally, a population of people that are really dedicated to staying in this area. Our community, our tech community, offers flexible hours. We offer collaborative workspaces. We provide our employees the opportunity to share new ideas and potentially the chance to work on the next big thing in tech. We're all working to provide an environment that nurtures creativity, which is both good for recruiting, makes my job easier, but it also helps us achieve our business objectives. The truth is, technology is vital, and it's vital to the success of almost every company, of every industry. Whether it's healthcare, retail, or any other industry, the consistent message is that we all need employees with deep technical skills. But there are also significant needs in sales, marketing, customer success. In fact, at IDX, only 40% of our employees are focused on building the software that we provide. The remaining 60% are responsible for ensuring our customers' success and ensuring that our company is growing. So overwhelmingly, collectively as a community, our greatest need is for people with communication skills, with a team mentality, and with a strong work ethic. To ensure that consistent pipeline of future workers and continued access to the top talent that's here locally, we, at this point, have the luxury of continuing some of the hard work that's already been put in motion. So a couple examples of those projects that are already in motion. One was actually featured on the cover of the Register Guard today. So the recently launched program named Apprenti is the first registered technical apprenticeship in Oregon. So pretty exciting distinction for Eugene specifically. This is an exciting example because Apprenti is designed to provide participants aspiring to attain these high-level technical jobs. They're giving them the actual paid training and advanced skill sets that they'll need to obtain those jobs. Likewise, in an effort to highlight our exciting tech scene right here in Eugene that people may not be aware of and retain the graduating talent that's here locally already at University of Oregon and LCC, the Technology Association of Oregon continually partners with us tech companies to provide behind-the-scenes tours of tech companies to students from the University of Oregon, LCC, and most notably recently, local high schools. So an exciting opportunity. Another example, and you may know about this because the last tech-focused City Club was talking about the Connected Lane County program. So a partnership with Connected Lane County this last summer allowed 12 local high school teachers to have the chance to spend some time as a summer intern at several local tech companies. This means that our tech talent worked with local teachers to give them the experience they needed, the industry experience specifically, to produce curriculum for computer science programs. This is the kind of collaboration that this community can provide, and it's collaboration that's imperative to ensuring that our schools are able to provide students with those digital tech skills that they're going to need regardless of what career they choose. So through student tours, teacher internships, tech apprenticeship programs, career technical education, and increased partnerships with our local universities, I think it's clear, and you can see, that our tech community is focused on recruiting, retaining, and developing that top talent to ensure that we all have a pipeline of Oregonians that are able to take on our future jobs. Thank you.
For a decade now, Sabrina Parsons, our next speaker, has been the CEO of Palo Alto Software. Palo Alto is a local developer of business management software and tools for entrepreneurs and small business owners. The best-known product, LivePlan, is sold worldwide. At Palo Alto Software, she's responsible for formulating the firm's business planning, formulating the fiscal and strategic goals, and for all of the company's traditional marketing. Sabrina sits on the board of directors for the Oregon Community Foundation and has been nominated by the school board to join the budget committee for the 4J School District for her second term. She's also on the board of the Charlemagne Fox Hollow School PTO, and she sits on the Lane County Stand for Children strategy team. Please welcome Sabrina Parsons.
It's a little tough to follow Celeste and Kale because I think they've given you a really great view of what tech looks like in Eugene. I'll start by giving you a little background of Palo Alto Software. The company was started in Palo Alto, California by my father when my family lived in the Bay Area. It was moved here to Eugene in 1992 with only three employees. So essentially, it should be Eugene Software, but Palo Alto Software is a good tech name, and we own paloalto.com as a domain, so we kept the Palo Alto Software name. But this is a company that has grown up in Eugene. When I took over the business 10 years ago, we developed Windows software and online content. And what I have done over the past 10 years is to work on growing the company and introducing new products and new technology. So LivePlan, our flagship product, is an online cloud solution. We still have some Windows software, but it very much is software that, you know, will be sunset soon because of the nature of technology and because of what happens and how things grow and how things change. And I think that, you know, on really building on what Celeste has said about tech and what we're trying to do here in Eugene and developing talent and getting talent into our workplaces, it comes hand in hand with the successes of our company. Tech companies have to continually work to innovate and grow or we will die. And that is just the nature of our industry. And we need a certain type of worker to really facilitate our strategic growth. We need people who are excited about innovation, excited about creativity, and really excited to figure out what's next. And the things that we've done in this community to develop that talent have really paid off. Palo Alto Software's LivePlan product is sold all over the world, and we have served almost a million businesses with that software. It has allowed us to grow the business. We are approaching 75 employees. We were about 28, 29 when I took over, so we've continued to grow the company. It is a private, family-owned business. We do not have outside financing, and really have focused in having a tech company in a community that allows us to thrive and grow and allows us to live a lifestyle as the owner and the people who run the company that we can also give to our employees. And so the third leg of the stool that Kale and Celeste have really talked about, economic development, talent, acquisition, retainment, training, that third leg is the community building that we do as a tech community. And it is key to both economic development and retention to have that community building piece included in tech in Eugene. It is what Eugene is about. You don't come to Eugene if you're not interested in a community. This is what Eugene is about. This is what Eugene has always been known to be. I think we have more nonprofits here per capita than anywhere else. And Oregon has that distinction, but then Eugene takes it to another level. And that's because there's a lot of people here who really care about what's going on in this community. And from a tech perspective, being involved involved is what our employees want. And when we think of how do we recruit, how do we retain, if we don't have that piece of community building and community involvement and really that ability to let our employees feel like they can give back, we lose out. That is one of the things that is very important to the tech employee in Eugene. They don't need foosball and kegs and dry cleaning. They want to know that they can take a half day off and go work for Food for Lane County, or that the company is going to support the McKinsey River Trust Initiative and help get matching dollars so that we can make sure that our rivers stay clean and that we preserve them. We are involved, I think, every one of the tech companies in the United Day of Caring, and send hundreds of tech employees to the United Way Day of Caring to give back to our community. At Palo Alto Software, it's one of the tenets of our culture. It's one of the things that we do. Every employee gets a half day a month on us to go volunteer in any organization they want. And our employees use it in a lot of different ways. A lot of the employees who have children in public schools use it to volunteer in the classroom a half day. In a context where working parents often don't get that opportunity. They can't do that because of the way the workday works. They volunteer at soup kitchens, at community gardens. We have an employee who's volunteered, I think it's his third or fourth year, in the middle school mentorship program that one of the Stanford Children members put together. And he volunteers because it's proven that middle schoolers who get mentorship have better graduation rates. And so our employees are very invested in what we can do for the community. And I think I can speak for all of tech and under TAO and the leadership of Matt, that's one of the reasons we've really enjoyed coming together, so that we can really bring a positive back to the community in the context of an industry that has high wages and that is trying to employ a lot of Oregonians. The other part about tech is we're clean, right? We're not out there polluting or needing big commercial land. It's a problem in Eugene. There's not enough commercial land for manufacturing. When we think of the types of companies we want to recruit, there's some limitations. Tech doesn't have those limitations. We don't need that, and we're not polluting, and we are approaching our industry in a very different way than you might see in the Silicon Valley or Seattle. What Celeste talks about with their ranking with Outside Magazine, I think has come to define what it means to run a tech company in Eugene. We are not having employees work 80 hours a week. That's just not something that happens. Employees aren't eating dinner at the office and, you know, playing video games at 11 o'clock at night because there's a meeting at midnight. Our employees are coming in, they're focused, they're doing their work, they're collaborating with each other, and they're producing results, and then they're going home to do whatever it is they want to do that makes them happy. And I think we all believe here in tech it makes them better, more productive employees. I don't believe that anybody can work 80 hours a week and be productive, and Harvard research shows that you can't and you don't, which is why a lot of those tech companies in other cities have all of those what I would call superfluous benefits that really are about keeping employees at the office and not making their lives better and improving their community. And I think that my company does better when I provide good health benefits, volunteering benefits, and work-life balance, and that we actually produce faster and better than employees that are exhausted and constantly feel challenged by work-life balance. So I won't take up more time because I definitely want to take questions from everybody, but I thank the City Club for inviting us and letting us tell our story to the community as this industry grows. Thank you.
Okay, today you heard a number of references to the Technology Association of Oregon, or TAO. Here to ask the first question of our panelists is Matt Sayer, who's the director of the TAO Southern Willamette Division. In 2016, Matt was recognized as one of the 20 under 40 rising business stars by the Register Guard. And this past year, Matt helped re-architect the internet infrastructure in Oregon, which has led to Eugene's 2017 designation as a Mozilla Gigabit City and the receipt of sizable grants from Mozilla to local tech companies. And gigabit shouldn't be an intimidating word to you. If you're interested in more information about it, on December 7th, next Thursday, there is a free workshop put on by Mozilla here in the area at the Eugene Public Library. It's free to everyone, where you can come and learn about the benefits of equitable, high-speed broadband access in the greater Eugene area. And the city of Eugene helped invest in that gigabit internet capability. So in part, you folks own a section of that. In addition, this past week, U.S. Ignite Incorporated, which is a nonprofit which is funded in part by the National Science Foundation, announced that Eugene Springfield has been added to the list of 23 other cities in their Smart Gigabit Communities program. And Matt, in addition to his TAO involvement, will function as the U.S. Ignite technical lead here in Eugene Springfield. So please welcome Matt Sayer.
Thanks for your very kind words, Paul. And thank you, Celeste, Kale, and Sabrina. I've appreciated your counsel and mentorship over the past 3 years. I'm Matt Sayer with the Technology Association of Oregon. Our nonprofit organization helps tech companies grow. Much of our work locally focuses on ensuring that that growth and economic prosperity are inclusive. I've seen our panelists today do some pretty amazing things for our community. Celeste, you and the employees at IDX have a culture of volunteerism. Through participation in events like Hack for a Cause, your team has helped make downtown Eugene more safe and welcoming. Kale, you work tirelessly in support of the environment. Through efforts like Silicon Shire for the River, Eugene and Springfield continue to be where people want to live, work, and play. Sabrina, I'm not sure if there's a community board that you haven't volunteered on. You are a role model to working mothers everywhere. And now to my question. With the rapid growth of the tech industry in West Coast cities, including San Francisco and Seattle, we've seen those cities face and seemingly lose the classic challenges associated with growth, namely traffic and housing. What do you think we should be doing now to ensure things will be different here in Eugene?
So that's a great question, and thank you, Matt, because I think it is the elephant in the room. I think it's a really important question, and housing is a question all of Oregon faces, right? It's not just Eugene. Portland is in the midst of, you know, a pretty big housing crisis. Bend, Oregon is going through that right now in a really big way. There's very little affordable housing in Bend, and it's something that we're struggling with in Eugene, maybe not quite at the extent at Bend and Portland, but clearly that is a future that we can see and we should be learning from. And I think that's the first thing, is acknowledging that this is happening and that this is going to continue to happen. And we've got to be really cognizant, and we have to work with the city and with the community to do good city planning. It is really vitally important for the communities to come together and to plan and to understand the impacts of growth. I also feel like with tech coming in, there are the, you know, to work with tech in how are we going to see the growth? How much is a company growing? What are the, you know, how many employees are coming into the area versus employees that we can hire from within? And that's why we've done so much to work with Connected Lane County and TAO and all the programs that Celeste mentioned, because we want more than anything to be able to hire talent that lives here in Eugene. We want to be able to help and affect the curriculums that our high school students have, our community college students have, and our four-year U of O and OSU students have, so that when they are graduating from high school, from community college, or from U of O, they're prepared for the jobs of the future. And those jobs of the future aren't the same as they used to be. And we can, in an effort to plan both with housing and with the right education for our local talent, that can be a really big benefit. If tech grows, we're definitely going to get interest from the outside. And Kale mentioned an employee that's moving from Portland. Because of housing pressures in Portland and in Bend, we're seeing more people apply to us when we have jobs that are open that are local jobs. We're not advertising them at this point. We never advertise anywhere but Eugene because we know people are looking anyway from the outside. And that is definitely something that's happening. It didn't used to happen. It used to be that people in Portland applied for jobs but then wanted to stay in Portland. And now people are applying for jobs and wanting to move for Eugene because of the lifestyle they can lead here, because of the median house price. And frankly, one of the things that Eugene has that Portland doesn't anymore is we have a community of families that for the most part, 90% of them are in public school. And it's a really huge asset that I think all of us need to understand. Portland's lost that battle. The Portland City School Systems compete with hundreds of private schools. We don't have that here. We don't compete with hundreds of private schools. There's very few private schools, and most people have their kids in Eugene public schools, which I think is a really important piece that people don't always see and can make a really big difference as we grow this community and grow it in the right ways, to really think about how to strengthen public schools and how to fund them and how to ensure the curriculum is a curriculum for the future and what the kids really need to be successful so that we don't have a brain drain and we can keep the kids we educate here. So that would be my suggestion to combating that problem, which we're going to have to face.
I don't know that I have a lot to add to that very thorough answer. I will add a little color to it. We already have employees at Concentric Sky with young families that struggle to find homes in this area, in the areas that they want to live in Eugene. So I think in some respects, we're already a little bit behind the ball in this regard. Urban growth boundary hasn't expanded in some time. I know from conversations with builders that there's a real lack of buildable lots in Eugene. So I think, you know, that's going to need to be addressed sooner rather than later. I think at this point, we should be planning for what's going to happen 10 years from now. If we don't do that, I think we're going to be experiencing some of the same problems that Seattle and San Francisco and Bend and other cities like that have experienced. I mean, we're, like I said, we're already seeing some signs of that with our employees.
Go after the tallest person in the room. So to echo, ultimately, that was incredibly thorough. I think it was perfect that Kale and Sabrina have both highlighted the issues that I would touch on. Ultimately, in Eugene, from my perspective, we have the luxury and the unique stance at this moment where we have a very community-minded tech community. And as we progress and as we consider what that next 10 years looks like, that we have the joy of being able to include this tech community and include the people that are already at the table, already considering these challenges, already talking to employees, and are aware of the potential solutions that are on the table. So including the tech community in those incredibly important conversations as we move forward.
Thank you very much. Now we'll break for about 5 minutes to formulate questions from each of the tables and then return with the audience questions. Remember, only City Club members are allowed to ask questions at the microphone. Thanks. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
This is KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, 89.1 KLFR Reedsport, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College. We're on Facebook and Twitter and online at klcc.org.
Welcome back to the December 1st City Club program, What You Need to Know About the Tech Industry in Eugene. City Club is a nonprofit organization supported through our members and our sponsors, including Oregon Country Fair, Sacred Earth Botanicals, University of Oregon Government and Community Relations, Summit Bank, and also to our in-kind sponsors, University of Oregon Academic Extension, Dot Dotson's Photography, and KRVM 91.9 Radio. Before we go to member questions, please remember, keep your questions short and to the point. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy Off-Rose, member of City Club since 99-2000, I have one question. When are we going to come close or have the same speed that Japan does right now?
Good question.
I can take that question. I don't know exactly what speed internet Japan has available at this moment in time, but I can say that City of Eugene, with a lot of support from Matt and the TAO, has made significant investments in our internet infrastructure in the last couple of years. I know that Palo Alto Software and IDX are both already taking advantage of some of that low-cost, very high-bandwidth internet connections.
Thank you.
Bob Cassidy, City Club member. My question is to Sabrina. I appreciate all the volunteer work that you and your staff is doing. You will be on the budget committee for 4J, we are told. What is your anticipation of what your impact will be on that committee? What kinds of things will you bring to that committee?
So actually, the information was a little outdated. I just finished my second term for the budget committee, so I was on it for 8 years. Just came off of it, so I can still answer the question. You know, I think the biggest thing for everybody to understand with school budgets is, despite the economy doing better, we still have underfunded schools, and Oregon is in a pretty precarious situation with K through 12 schools because of the lack of funding. We are 48th in the nation in number of school days. Our kids in Eugene, if they go to school K through 12 in Eugene, they will go to school on average 1 year less than any other American child, and 18 months less than kids in Washington State. And yet we wonder why we're not sending kids college ready. Well, if they have a full year less of school, they don't have time to be college ready. So, you know, from my 8 years on budget committee, the biggest frustration and the hardest thing to face is we don't get to make fun decisions about, you know, how much PE and music and art. We're dealing with such basic issues as, can we actually get, you know, 172 days of school when the average is 186? Can we even get to 172? And is there any possible way to reduce class size by one when class sizes are on average, you know, in high school at 33, 34 students? My son in eighth grade in middle school has never been in a class with less than 40 kids. And he does math with 43 kids, science with 41. You know, language with 45. So in terms of budget, it's not getting better. And the way we fund schools and the, you know, the formulas we put behind it are going to make that and continue to have that be a challenge. And so from the 8 years in budget committee, that's what I can kind of share with everybody. And, you know, it's slightly depressing, but on the other side, it also means that it's a pretty easy, clear message. We have to fund schools. And, you know, you guys probably all saw me in, you know, Measure 97. 24/7 commercials, and a lot of business owners weren't happy, but at the end of the day, my kids don't have time for Salem to fix what's going on, and we all need to understand that.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ruth.
Ruth Dimler, and thank you so much for that statement. As a former teacher, I really know the need we have. My question today is, what do you see when your employees, is it easy for them to come forward with new ideas and something that creates a big change?
My name is Celeste Marshall, by the way, I'm from IDX. As a tech community as a whole, I think it was clear based on the messages that all three of us provided that this community is focused on creating opportunities for employees to bring their creativity to the table. Ultimately, we live and die as a company based on our ability to procure those ideas from our employees and remove as many barriers from those ideas and projects and suggestions coming to fruition. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Karen Seidel, City Club member. Does the tech community presently have plans to interact or collaborate with the research that will take place on the Knight campus?
I don't think I have a great answer for that question, unfortunately. At Concentric Sky, we don't currently have plans to collaborate with the Knight Research Center, but I suspect if they're going to achieve their mission, that many of the tech companies in Eugene will end up collaborating with the Knight Research Center.
Thank you.
John Ag, City Club member for a long time. The growth of Silicon Valley had great effects on the San Francisco Bay Area. The population more than doubled. Housing prices went through the roof. A three-bedroom house in Palo Alto now is averaging $3 million. And traffic has changed considerably. Commute roads now head into San Jose. I recently was down there and saw five lanes going south from Palo Alto, bumper to bumper. And the schools, population exploding, and like it has here. And what are the prospects, in your judgment, for the similar things happening here in the Eugene area?
I mean, I think the reality is every city in America is going to experience change. You know, everything is growing. Tech is the future. And I think Celeste mentioned when she talked, it doesn't matter what kids go into when they graduate. Everyone's going to do something with technology, whether you're, doing, work on auto mechanics, to doctors, to nurses, to teachers. I mean, tech is going to be everywhere. And so the reality of tech is it's going to continue to grow. And I think what we need to do is be purposeful and understand it and not fight it and work with it and plan, because planning makes a huge difference. And if we are cognizant of what can happen, and if we can lay out a roadmap to what we want to happen, it will help. The pressures for growth will be here. What Eugene doesn't want to do is ignore it or to be left behind in some strange way because we can't understand and embrace it. It can be positive and it can bring a lot of positive to our community, but we've got to kind of acknowledge it and not be afraid of it and work and plan and work together. And we have to work with Springfield and we have to work with Corvallis and we have to work as a county together, and we have to be forward thinking and we have to include as many younger people as possible in order to make sure we get everybody's views and strategy. So I think we just have to face it and be smart about planning, and I think good city planning can go a long way.
Hello, my name is Mariah Lur, and this is a question from a guest to City Club, Gabrielle from Whitebird. Her question is, there are a lot of nonprofits in Eugene who need to upgrade or initiate more technology. How can these companies get help competing for tech solutions? As you might know, Whitebird is a collective and cannot redirect much of its funding from its services for this kind of help. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can speak to that. So in the past, Concentric Sky has donated time to working with local nonprofits to upgrade their websites. So local nonprofits, I think, are impacting in a lot of ways from the growing Eugene tech industry. What else can I say about that? I think, you know, most of us serve on the boards of nonprofits. I serve on the board of the McKinsey River Trust. I have for more than 3 years at this point, and there are other people on that board from tech as well. So I think in a lot of ways, tech is having a positive impact on the nonprofit community.
And I saw Matt reminding us to also talk about the Hack for a Cause, because we, as a tech industry, it's an event that we do where we bring in tech and connect them with causes in Eugene. So that's a really good place for Whitebird to come. And like Kale donates for Concentric Sky, Palo Alto Software has started a series of free lunch and learns from nonprofits, where we invite nonprofits in and we let our employees bring their expertise, whether it be search engine optimization, online marketing, better strategic forecasting, and we do a 90-minute session with lunch, and we've done two of them, and we've got a series of eight of them planned going into the next year. So we'll try to get the word out for more, but I think, you know, it's part of what all of us in tech do to try to give back to the community.
Hi, this is Mary Layton, representing Network Charter School at City Club since 2006. Matt might also be interested in answering this question. Sabrina mentioned the failure of Measure 97 to improve school funding in the state of Oregon, and it was said that the business community hated it because it was a very badly developed proposal. We could argue that point, but we then heard that the business community would help us figure out how to draft a proposal that could at least be choked down, that they wouldn't have to feel they had to oppose it so strenuously. And I wondered if the tech community, which surely suffers from a failure to recruit people given the state of schools, or to hold people in Eugene when there's better schools in other states, so is the tech community invested now in practical development of proposals that could be adopted by the business community, and if so, would they be willing to help us do the hashtag thing or all the other stuff that would get the word out better than we got it out the last time?
I mean, I'll step up because I did not oppose 97. I think there were flaws with it, but there's going to be flaws with everything, and we need money now. And so my approach was, we need to get funding, and the kids in school right now don't have time for us to figure out the perfect thing. That being said, I want the business community to work with Salem. I think we need help getting somebody from Salem who is leading the charge on a better bill. That's what we need, and then the tech community, I'm sure, would be happy to weigh in and would be happy to help craft something that more businesses can get behind. But we can't, we're not writing bills, so that's not our expertise, so we need somebody who's doing that to then involve us, and if they can do that, we'd be happy to weigh in.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Loeb, and I have a daughter who's just starting high school this year. And recognizing all the issues with funding, I'm nonetheless curious, what could high schools be doing differently or better to prepare students to work in your industries or just to be prepared for the tech world that they are coming into? And I guess I'd be interested in specifics. I mean, what changes or differences in curriculum would you like to see that you aren't presently?
So this summer, my name is Celeste again. This summer, I think I spoke a little bit about the Elevate Lane County program that was initiated, and ultimately that came about to provide opportunities to give job shadow or internships to high school students. And as part of this, there was also the 12 teachers I think I spoke about earlier that were able to take a part in summer internships at these tech companies. So one of those teachers was actually a counselor at Thurston High School, and she had some great insight. Ultimately, she came away from the conversations that she had with these tech companies realizing that students coming out of high school are not, you know, they just don't immediately have these skills. So what are those skills? Because those skills maybe are not obtained in high school, or they're not obtained in a college you know, after a four-year degree and $100,000 in debt. So she set out to ask these tech employees and tech executives, what were those skills? And her takeaways really were those things that I highlighted before. It's communication skills, and that's verbal and written skills, creativity, the ability to push through challenges. But like you asked, how do you obtain those skills? That's the real difficult question. And I think we're all trying to answer that specifically to give real-world tasks. But we start when we have internships, high school interns, we bring them in, we provide them opportunities to obtain a goal. So we set out to say, hey, you're going to build a website and it's going to look like this. And you're going to, there are six, you know, six pieces to that challenge or to that eventual goal. And at each point, you're going to have to push through and find the answer. And it's not going to be easy. And you're potentially not going to have somebody to the left of you to look at their paper and ask that question. So I think it's ultimately teaching our kids, providing opportunities over and over again to really push through those challenges, which then provides opportunities for teamwork, for additional communication skills. We're looking for those skills that every employer is looking for. And it's really just a matter of providing those opportunities outside of potentially curriculum or outside of the traditional school environment.
Thank you. We just have about 3 minutes, so go with the last two questions here. Thanks.
Sandy Smalley, this is a question from my table. There have been a number of companies that have, sort of ancillary companies, have had large impact on the tech field, like cybersecurity firms. Are you folks doing anything to attract these companies to the area and to keep them local?
I would jump in and say that Matt and TAO are doing a lot for recruitment and retention of companies. That's one of the reasons why Matt has worked as hard as he has for the designation of a gigabit city for Mozilla, the broadband that we've brought to Eugene, higher speeds, lower costs. We will have direct connections to Amazon Web Services, which in layman's terms means when we develop our software and we put it in the cloud, we and a lot of companies use Amazon Web Services, and to have a direct connection is faster for our developers. And so there's a lot of things that we're doing. And as a tech community, we work with TAO, we work with Greater Eugene Inc., we work with Business Oregon when they reach out. So I know Kale and I have been involved in a recruitment of a tech company, going to lunch, talking to you know, potential companies and letting them know what it's like to run a business. So we're open and we're willing to participate. Our role is to be called upon to help by people like TAO and Greater Eugene Inc. and Lane County and Business Oregon.
Thank you. We're really running out of time.
Okay.
So really brief.
Dina Wills, City Club member. This is a very brief question. As you were speaking, Sabrina, I heard the words, Windows will sunset. And I would like to know, does that mean Windows is going away? People in my demographic don't really want to learn another system.
So the answer has to be 30 seconds or less.
Our Windows software is going to be sunsetted. I'm not Microsoft, so I assume Microsoft doesn't want to sunset Windows operating system. I was talking about my software company and what we develop and our Windows software solution. Some point in the next 5 years will be sunset, but that has nothing to do with Microsoft Windows operating system.
Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you so much for our speakers today. There's a couple of quick announcements. Thank you to public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday at 6:30 following the Friday programs. And thank you to Community Television of Lane County, Cable Channel 29, for televising recent City Club programs. Thank you to Dan Bryant for producing those programs for the cable. And thank you to our sound person, Jim Dotson, who's hiding back there. And I also want to thank Thomas Price, our City Club tech volunteer. Thank you, Thomas, for coordinating today's tech program, at least the logistics of it. And thank you to Josh Evans from Eugene Tech for the live streaming of today's program. Next week's Friday program, December 8th, please join us for a presentation on Measure 101, sales tax on healthcare or provider tax paid by hospitals and insurance companies. Come and explore that important issue. It's coming up for a vote on a special election January 23rd. More details and information about other City Club programs can be found at the website cityclubofeugene.org. Now let's thank today's speakers, Cale Bruckner, Sabrina Parsons, Celeste Marshall, and our first questioner, Matt Sayer, with a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you all. This concludes today's program.